The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog Fantasy Pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code NBASGP and at underdogfantasy.com and get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by the NFL Draft and Old Fashioned Football. They are giving away some autograph NFL merch. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/off-contest. That's OFF contest to enter today. We're also giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up link is exclusively in our NBA channel, in our Discord, sg.pn/discord. Yes, sir. We're back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the voice, no the guys. Me, really Ro, villain Ro. It's Ro from Junior here at your service. And the Philly train has now left the station. It's not too late to hop on the bandwagon, but the train has left the station. Philly money line, Heat +4.5 cashes. Shout out to this is gonna be a good playoff run. Scott Steer, Rachel, Scott, what's going on?
Scotty, beam me up.
Surprise.
Yeah, feeling pretty good. Definitely excited because this is the first playoff episode. We had a couple play-in episodes, but now we are finally here to the bracket. I know we still have a couple of games to go, two games tonight. I'm not sure why there were no games tomorrow, but not my problem, I guess, whatever. Point is, looking forward to breaking down these game ones. I know we're still two game ones short. We don't have the Celtics series. We don't have the Thunder series because those play-ins are tonight, obviously, to find out who both those teams are going to play. Point is, though, a lot of games to go through. We got six game ones. Looking forward to breaking them down.
Yeah, a whole bunch of game ones. And I mean, I'm not wasting any time. I'm getting straight to the butter. But before we do that, I got to talk to you about the Stanley Cup playoffs is this weekend as well. Man, shout out to the guys at the Hockey Gambling Podcast. Talon, Ryan, Joel, they're breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games, and they will keep you, you know, laughing, and all the picks are going to be there. It's going to be fun. So they'll be there all postseason long. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. And we're also giving away $200 in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up link is in our Discord channel. Make sure you use that Discord link, sg.pn/discord. If you haven't gotten into that Discord, that's sg.pn/discord for a $200 cash. Did I say cash? I don't think I said cash. I'm just letting you know it's cash. $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up link exclusively in our NBA channel, in our Discord, sg.pn/discord. All right. The game that everybody's waiting for, 1 p.m. on the East Coast, Saturday, April 20th. Hey, Haney and Garcia this weekend. Just remember that, Haney and Garcia this weekend. Everybody that's ducking Shakur is just really out there fighting each other for real.
I think Garcia gets his ass kicked, but that's my
I mean, he is, but like, you know. He was trying to say that nobody's ducking Shakur. Haney was trying to say nobody's ducking Shakur. But yeah, Shakur still doesn't have a fight with these guys that he's saying, yo, put me in the ring with. It's crazy to think about. Just had to throw that out there. It's crazy to think about. But again, less about Haney and Garcia, more about the grudge match that everybody's been waiting to see this postseason. The Orlando Magic are on the road going to play the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers open up as a home game one favorite of -4.5. 207.5 is the total there. Injury report for these two teams. And do I even have any remnants of an injury report here? Let's see. Well,
probably not. But
yeah, let's see what we can, if we have anything that's been solid already. So looks like you have a game time decision on all these people that didn't play last. Well, did play, but still lost the game. Didn't play. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Caris LeVert, Sam Morrell. Looks like all these people are going to play. So don't really expect this game one of the playoffs. And don't really expect too many people to be out. Not a major injury on either side. 4.5 with the Cavs. Are you willing? Are you willing to trip to the land down under to take the Cavaliers?
Well, I am going to ask you in general about these younger teams making their first playoff type of experience right now, because Orlando is a pretty young roster in general. A lot of young guys who have not been in this moment before, at the stage before. Do you believe that they're going to come in loose, or do you think that jitters are an actual thing?
I think they should come in loose. I think they should come in with nothing to lose, because they really do have nothing to lose. You weren't even supposed to be here in the beginning of the season. I mean, if we're being honest about it, you really weren't. Cavs expected to be here. They have all expectations on them because they were already projected as a top four seed in the beginning of the season. So,
all the pressure's on Cleveland too, because they punted the last game of the season to get this matchup in the first place. So,
I'm not taking Cleveland. I just don't feel comfortable doing it. Maybe it is these guys are just too young. They're not ready. Cleveland's been here. They played in the playoff series. And, you know, I kind of had that breakdown about the Knicks last year. Like, the Knicks had been there before, even though they didn't look good. They've been there before. Whereas this Cavaliers team has been there before, even though they didn't look good. I just need a game to figure out if I can trust Doc or not.
I'm with you, though. I don't trust this Cleveland team. I don't want to be laying points. I was just asking because that's the main question we have going into game one, is if Orlando comes in maybe a little bit flat, bit nervous, and we'll see if that is an issue early on. So maybe if you wanted to, like, Cavs first quarter, if you thought that nerves are going to be an issue. I still don't trust Cleveland enough to lay any points with them based on how they finished the season. They were awful after the All-Star break, and I do think that Orlando was not playing great basketball at the end of the season. They won the division, which I think helps them, helps us. I know that I gave them out at 6-1 to win the division. But I think you're looking at a spot where this game should be ugly, should be competitive. I want the points. I really like the under, though, in this game. I see a rock fight. We've seen a lot of low-scoring games so far in the play-in. The Heat game went over. That was a miracle. Atlanta's a fake basketball team. So that game went over too. But we've seen a lot of really ugly quarters, a lot of really ugly basketball, and a lot of, I'd say, whistle swallowing by officials where they're just not calling as much as they used to. I see a really physical series between these two teams. Both teams play very slow offensively. I don't see much pace. I like the under in this game. I see a rock fight.
So we have Orlando here, who is 2-0 ATS with 4-plus days off this season. We have Cleveland, who is 0-2 ATS with 4-plus days off this season. Another look for me. And it's just the fact that I really, like, I just don't think tanking at the end of the season in a playoff, in the NBA, is the best option for, at least in basketball, where you're depending on how hot your team is, keeping your team going and going and going and keeping the hot shooting going. Whereas Orlando ended the season, like, it was horrible before that, but they ended the season exactly how they wanted, a blowout win over the Bucks.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it wasn't no Giannis, no, but, like, they were trying. They had their guys playing. They're keeping those guys warm. Now they had this time off, and they've been pretty good with time off before. Yeah, I like Orlando. I do like the under. I think it's more of a defensive game. I'm debating Orlando first half or not. Both of these two teams are pretty solid first half teams. I think I'm kind of leaning to an Orlando first half here, but definitely with you on that under 207.5. And we have our player props. Anything stand out to you now? What's available?
Actually, more than you might think. Let me quickly pull up what we have for the player props. But are there any players you like?
So,
I'll say out the numbers off the top, you say players.
Yeah, and I got them pulled up here too. Off the top of my head, I just think that this is going to be a huge Jalen Suggs series defensively. And the fact of just, I think that he's going to rack up the steals. He's going to have a lot of opportunities. We know this Cleveland team likes to pass, like this, distribute the ball, share the ball, and is played at a slower pace. And that's kind of where Jalen Suggs thrives. Like, he kind of thrives in those slower pace half court offense. Let me force you to make a mistake. Let me poke the ball out. Let me do all this stuff. So I think I'm going to be on Jalen Suggs really, really heavy this series, thinking it's a defensive series. Remember how ugly that this Cavs team looked in the playoffs last year and all the mistakes, all the things. Like, I don't know if that stuff is going to, you know, is it going to turn around and they're going to look good in the playoffs this year? Like, I don't know. I don't agree. So Jalen Suggs over 1.5 steals -120. That feels like a really good price.
Yeah. So you were going immediately to defensive props and I was on the same page as you, but I wonder if Suggs is going to be guarding Mitchell or if Suggs is going to be guarding Garland. I'm kind of wondering what the,
I mean, does it matter?
Going to be. Well, the point is does that Mitchell will have the ball more. So if you wanted steals, maybe you can make an argument that Isaac might be worth it more because he'll be guarding Mitchell. My concern for Cleveland in the series is Mitchell ball hogging, and we've seen how that's gone in the past. He had a reputation for being a great round one guy, but over the last couple of round ones, he has not been particularly good, especially in that series against the Knicks. You're a Knicks fan. You witnessed it. Mitchell quit on the series. He basically no-showed the last three games of that series, and I'm wondering if he's going to mentally check out because he wants to go to Miami or Brooklyn in the offseason. I want Isaac defensive props, though, because Isaac is an absolute madman defensively. But looking at his actual numbers here, the over 2.5 steals and blocks for Isaac is at +120, which I find very interesting. I think Isaac is able to block a bunch of shots. He's very active with his hands. I think that he's in line for a very good defensive masterclass. I like Isaac over 2.5 steals and blocks at +120.
All right. Let's see here. What else we here? I saw the chat is talking to St. Chat talking Paolo Banchero +210 double double. I do like that. I think that's a good play. Adam agreed with me on Suggs steals. He added the threes. I do like the threes as well. I think I might just be really, really heavy for Jalen Suggs this series because it just feels like he's always going to be on the court. Why would you take him off the court? If Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are on the court, I feel like Jalen Suggs needs to be on the court. Let's see. Kaysen's got a whole bunch of stuff. He's on the Mavs heavy. Magic win game one and series +310. Magic up 2-1 after game three +190. I like that. Get one on the road, win one at home. Yeah. Magic 4-2 +520, 4-3 +800. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Looking at other
let me
player
see.
Prop based on trends here. Joe Ingles over 4.5 points and assists. 4.5? Really? That line feels very low.
He don't be on the court that much.
I get that, but that's still a really low line, and he's one of the more experienced playoff guys they have on the entire roster. They're looking at his minutes. He's still playing around 15, 17 minutes a game, give or take. He's gone over in 7 straight, gone over in 9 of 10, gone over in 15 of the last 19. Maybe they lean into experience. Who knows? But he has had at least 14 points and assists in 2 of the last 3 games against Cleveland. So 4.5 points and assists, I'm actually pretty intrigued by for Ingles. I just think that line's too low. If you wanted a plus money play, Wagner, under 1.5 turnovers is +154. He's gone under in 9 of the last 10 games. He has turned it over a lot against Cleveland, which might be why this line is pretty high in terms of plus money, but +154 for a guy that's gone under a 9 of 10 is pretty appealing, too. So I don't mind Franz under 1.5 turnovers at +154.
All right. Paolo Banchero, I think he's going to have a good series. Franz Wagner. Wagner probably is going to be my dark horse for the entire series, and I'm probably going to take his over on points. I know he hasn't killed that prop over the course of the regular season against Cleveland, but I just think that playoff time, they're going to do everything they can to really, really throw Paolo Banchero off his game and just assume that, you know, if Paolo Banchero isn't going, this team is going to be dead in the water. But Franz Wagner, very, very good. Heated up towards the end of the season, 20, 24, 22, 16. Missed a couple games, 24, 25 when he came back and finished the season. So I like backing the hot shooting coming in, and Franz Wagner has been one of the more hotter players over the past, what, 6-7 games. So I like him to get over his points prop of, what is your points prop, sir? 19.5. Yeah, he can get to 20. All right. Last look in and chat. Wham said Magic win this series because JB's getting fired. Friends can get healthy. I think they get this in 6.
My agendas have been good this postseason, but I've been saying Bickerstaff's not a great coach for the last 2 years. So that would be another piece of the agenda that I could check off if he ends up getting fired. So we'll see what happens.
Kaysen's also sprinkling Paolo to lead the series in rebounds. That's interesting. 12-1. That's actually really interesting. Because if the Cavs are just ass and terrible, probably is Paolo Banchero. All right. Let's see here. That's it for that one. Before we get into the next game in the slate, got to talk to you about Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to come play fantasy sports. Playing Pick'em is simple. As all you have to do is just higher or lower on a player's fantasy stats, like points, rebounds, assists, points, rebounds, and assists, all more. A whole bunch of other things. So you can make entries of all basketball, or you can dabble in some golf. You can dabble in, MLB, you can do hockey, you can add a whole bunch of things, and you can win up to 100 times your money. It's a ton of fun. So Underdog Fantasy, available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. We're going to drop an Underdog lineup at the end of the show for the action today. And they have a pick'em special for Friday's play-in games, today's play-in games, with the player TBD. The special will go live in the lobby for new customers only that sign up by now. And so if you signed up, you'll see your player in the lobby and they'll have a special for you. So make sure you take advantage of that. Use our sign up code NBASGPN. Underdog Fantasy will double your first deposit up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. We're back. Next game on the slate, we have 3:30 p.m. on the East Coast. Minnesota Timberwolves are welcoming the Phoenix Suns to Minnesota. Minnesota's laying 1.5. Open up at 2. They're laying 1.5. 214 is the total injury report here. And I don't really see. Let me see. So, Eric Gordon is a game time decision. That's pretty much the only thing that I see here. Expect a relatively healthy rosters here. Nothing big to report. All right. Suns dominated this series. In the regular season, they took all 3 games, I believe it was. Not 4 this time. Actually, 3. Yep, 3. Took all 3 games by double digits. Covered all 3 games. Scott, are you buying into the regular season?
I want to ask Minnesota here. I want to ask you, because I have Suns in 6 in the series. What was your pick for the series?
I had Suns in 6 as well. But okay. I did think that Ant was going to win them a couple of games.
That's how I kind of looked at it. So even though I'm picking the Suns to win in 6, I think I'm taking Minnesota.
The Timberwolves are winning this game, right?
I think they have to. I think we'd agree, yeah. even though people can argue that one game doesn't define a series, especially in game 1. For this case, I think it does. Because this team has owned you. It's about mentally getting over that hump, trying to actually beat this team that's experienced. You have the crowd advantage on your side. It's a great home environment. I think you have to win this game. Just simply put, I think this game matters a lot more to Minnesota than it does to Phoenix. I think Phoenix knows, with Booker and Durant and I guess Beal, because he had some playoff series early in his career, but they're an experienced team. They did it last year. They lost game 1 to the Clippers. They might have lost the first 2 games to the Clippers, and they came back and they won the series. They know that this game isn't a must-win spot, where if they lose, it's fine. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. They'll figure it out, and they'll go back to the drawing board. I don't think Minnesota can afford to lose game 1. I think if Minnesota loses game 1, the series is over. You might think I'm overreacting. I don't think I am. I think that Minnesota really needs this game. I'm going to go with Minnesota. I think over the course of the series, they're eventually going to struggle offensively, and they're going to lose. But I do think for one game, I'm taking Minnesota. I think the game matters more. I'm going to trust the home crowd. Give me Minnesota to ride the overall crowd energy. I think Ant shows up. Give me Minnesota -1.5.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about it. I just think that this is now them getting the monkey off the back. You realize that you got dominated by this team. You have in-season revenge, double-digit in-season revenge, because you lost all those games by double digits. I'm on the same exact wave that I think that this is a game that Timberwolves just value a little bit more in saying, hey, if we're going to have a chance in this series, we got to go out here and get this win. We got to defend home court and play really, really well, especially with the fact that this is a deja vu game. A lot of people don't realize, but it is a deja vu game. These two teams ended the season, and Phoenix, I think they were like 9.5-point dogs too. Like, I think they were pretty sizable dogs. I think people thought Phoenix was just going to pack it up, and they went in there and won that game. So I think this is a really, really big spot for Minnesota just to kind of prove to themselves that they belong here, they can do this. And this is more of a get-up spot for them. So I like Minnesota as well. I think Minnesota's going to get it done. I think it's going to be with good defense. And so I'm going with the under 214. I think that's how Minnesota gets it done. They just don't allow the Suns to score. They smother on defense. It's really, really slow pace. Minnesota controls the tempo of the game. Anthony Edwards makes a lot of big plays for them. So, yeah, they finally do it. They get one on the season. I saw somebody say T-Wolves game one. That's Kaysen. T-Wolves game one, Suns series at plus 290 at FanDuel. I agree with that. I think that's a pretty good play. Yeah, that's it. I'm on Minnesota. I'm on the under. What about you on the total?
I think I have to lean to the under because I still don't like Minnesota's offense. I just think defensively they'll be able to show up and provide a good effort for at least one game. I'm with you on the under. I think Minnesota is going to, at least for one game, bottle up Durant or Booker, maybe both. I'm not sure the Suns have a backup option there. I might consider Phoenix team total under. But the point is, if Minnesota's going to win, it's got to be.
I think it's a simple script. Minnesota might blow them out. Honestly. Like, they might blow them out, and the Suns might just call this quits, and they're like, hey, it's just game one. Like you said it. They might just call this quits in the second half, and Minnesota ends up winning this by double digits.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Last year, yes, it was a different coach, but I believe the Suns went 0-2 in game one. So I think they lost game one to the Clippers at home, and they lost game one to Denver. And I think they might have gotten routed in that Denver game. So who knows? But the point is, I saw it last year. They know that they can get by if they lose game one. I don't think Minnesota can. So give me Minnesota.
Yeah. I think I might do an offspring in this game. I think Minnesota might win this by double digits. Phoenix is probably, like, if this gets ugly, Phoenix is, all right, we'll pack it in. We'll see you game two.
Yeah, that I think was going to happen.
All right. Player props.
I'm assuming you're on Ant, because if you're picking Minnesota, that involves Ant probably dropping.
Well, the Suns are playing basketball, so the first play that we're going to talk about is Grayson Allen over 2.5 threes and minus 118. And why is that price so low? We're going to continue playing that in the playoffs. I don't care what I got the game script for. We're going to continue that trend for sure. Grayson Allen.
I might be tempted by Allen rebounds and assists, but just to stay on Grayson Allen for a second.
Ant's at 25.5. Oh, well, they brought Ant down, so now it's reasonable. I thought they were still going to have him at like 28.5, 29.5, because he's really struggled against Phoenix this season.
Yeah, he hasn't had really a good
game yet. But, so, yeah, I'm going with Ant because I have to trust Ant. Like, I feel comfortable trusting Ant. And I'm probably going to get down on Naz Reid coming off the bench 11.5. I just think that he's going to have more of a role for them off the bench. Like, that's going to open things up and keep them in the game, keep them scoring when Ant sits on the bench, when Carl Anthony Towns is on the bench, like to be able to keep that offense going rather than him running with the starters. So I'll probably be on Naz Reid as well, over 11.5.
Yeah, I mentioned before Grayson Allen over 5.5 rebounds and assists. He's gone over in 9 of the last 10, gone over in 15 of the last 20. And he has gone over in each of the last two games against Minnesota. He's going to play a bunch of minutes. If Eric Gordon doesn't play, his minutes should once again stay pretty solid. He's been one of their best players the entire season, and he's been one of the best three-point shooters in the league the entire season. Mm-hmm. So he has to play just for spacing purposes. But once again, he's played at least 32 minutes in each of the last two meetings, went over. I know that the line's pretty interesting at 5.5 for rebounds and assists, but I think it's actually a pretty, I'd say, underrated angle, because 5.5 is nothing. You go over a 9 of 10, 15 of 20. I got to like that potential. So, yeah, give me Grayson over 5.5 rebounds and assists. I like -115.
A lot of Grayson Allen stock here. Grayson Allen stock here. I agree. All right.
He's earned it.
Let's see here. Next game on the slate. Well, wait. Is it the next game on the slate? Is that the next thing we're talking about? I lost my sheet.
Whoa, I think it's the next
game. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, it is. Okay. I was just making sure I ain't have another read. But here we go. Game of the night. Not really, but... Well, maybe. Actually, maybe. It might be. Philadelphia 76ers on the road going to play the New York Knicks. Knicks open up laying 2. They're currently laying 3. 209 is total. Injury report here. And, well, you know Julius Randle's out for the rest of the year. Looks like Joel Embiid is going to go. I didn't really have any questions there. Robert Covington is out. De'Anthony Melton is going to be a game time decision. We're going to see if he's going to be able to go. I think that's really the only big news. De'Anthony Melton, if he's a game time decision, see if he plays. But I think he will. All right. Knicks laying 3 at home. Game 1 in the playoffs. Madison Square Garden is going to be electric for this game, by the way. Just so people know. That place is going to be on fire. Scott?
I'm taking
that. I mean, I feel like everybody knows where I'm going.
I'm taking the Knicks. I think that this is an insane amount of disrespect on behalf of the Knicks. Everyone's picking the Sixers at this point. Draymond had his podcast. He's taking the Sixers. He was going to take the Heat over the Knicks, which I think is a stretch. We'll put it that way. I don't know why everyone's suddenly hating the Knicks. This team's good at basketball. I feel like everyone's overreacting to one play-in game in which the Sixers were awful for about 2.5 quarters. And Nicholas Batum bailed out the franchise, and now suddenly they're expected to beat this Knicks team, and I just don't agree. I think the Knicks have enough overall depth to make life difficult for Philly. Embiid is clearly still injured, and I think the Knicks in front of the home crowd show up for game 1. So I'm going to go with the Knicks. I think that they have the ability to provide Embiid with a lot of different coverages, whether it involves Hartenstein, whether it involves Mitchell Robinson. They are very good at rotations. I think Thibodeau will have something game plan for Embiid, not to mention the fact he's still injured. So I think that's an issue. I don't know who's going to guard Brunson for Philly, because we know Maxey is a very solid player, really bad defensive player. Like, they don't have anyone in their backcourt who I think can actually stay in front of Brunson, and I think he might be the best player in the series. I'm looking for... A series prop on who's going to lead this. I think I'm back. My bad.
Oh, okay. Me? It was you. I thought it was me. Hey, man. I thought it was me this whole time. I'm sorry, y'all.
I don't know what happened there.
Go ahead.
I think Brunson's got a matchup advantage. I think he'll be able to do whatever he wants. But it's mostly fading an injured Embiid with a Sixers team that almost lost to a Miami team that can't score. Butler got injured. Mm-hmm. He couldn't move. Hero was inefficient. Miami offensively was just a mess, and Philly still almost lost the game. I'm going to go with the Knicks. I think they show up in game 1.
Great, because I couldn't wholeheartedly disagree more. So I like that we can have this discourse, because you said a lot of good things. And I think you said a lot of good things, but I think it works either way. I think Jalen Brunson is going to be really good this series, and they don't have anybody that can guard him. On the other side, I don't think that Jalen Brunson has anything for anybody on that roster, and they're going to target him this entire series. That's how you're going to take advantage of Jalen Brunson being on the court and what he gives you offensively. You're going to take advantage of him on the defensive end, and you're going to take it and you're going to go at him, and you're going to get some easy buckets for Tyrese Maxey that way. And so I think that they're going to really challenge Jalen Brunson. He's not going to be able to just hide in the corner, hide on defense this series. We're in a playoff series, and Nick Nurse is the coach. They're going to make sure that, hey, if you have a liability, we're going to exploit it. And so I think Jalen Brunson, as much as he's good offensively, and he's going to be good offensively this series, I think he's going to be just as bad defensively, and they're going to be able to take advantage. Joel Embiid, I think, is still the best player on the court. I think even with the questions around his health, he's proven that time after time again, he can get going and he can be really good. And so this is his coming out party. I think this playoff run is going to be his coming out party with Nick Nurse, and just saying that he's going to have a really, really good series. I'm not going to act like that Miami team isn't solid regardless. Like, I think that you say that one game isn't enough. But that one bad Philly game and a game that they still won, I think is a little bit of an overreaction to how they'll play this series. I think that they match up really good with the Knicks here. I think they both have offensive options. And this Knicks team just isn't playing good basketball right now. In the past two games, they have played their starters. They have taken these games serious, and they almost lost to the Nets, and they almost lost to the Bulls. At the end of the day, the past two games, they have taken serious. They have played their starters. They almost lost to the Nets. They almost lost to the Bulls. They're not playing their best basketball coming into this game. And so I'm going to take a Joel Embiid team that's still, what is it now, 33-8 this season with Joel Embiid in the lineup?
I think it's 32.
Yeah. I think this team is going to be good.
It's still really good. 33, 32, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
And so I think this is Philly. I think Philly is going, Maxey is going to be really good. But yeah, I think that this is Philly. And now that they have Maxey, who I think is going to have a really good series, Joel Embiid, who I think is going to have a good series, and they added the shooting and the spacing around them for the playoffs, this is really what they were talking about. And so Tibbs, Nick Nurse, I'm taking Nick Nurse. This Knicks team is really good. I think Philly is catching a little bit of a bad rap for, one, the Joel Embiid injury, how they kind of finished the year, then they picked it up when he came back, and then it was a tough Miami Heat team and a very, very tough playing game. I don't think that's enough for me to be off of this Philly team, so I'm still rolling with the Philly train. Philly plus three. I think they get it done, and they steal game one in the Garden, and this is going to be a good series. I think this is going to be a contested series, but I'm taking Philly in game one. Total. 209. It's gone up, actually, up from 205.5 to 209. What do you like here?
I think I'm going to lean under in this game. Watching Philly offensively against the Heat, the refs let them play, so maybe it depends on which referees get the assignment. But I see a physical, ugly game. It's Thibodeau in the playoffs. We have Nick Nurse, who we know is not afraid of being in the half court as well. I see a game that's going to feature barely any fast break points, and a game that's going to feature a lot of physical play and probably a lot of complaining from Brunson and Embiid for foul calls, because I don't think they're going to get many. And I think there's going to be a lot of complaints on both sides, just not getting the whistle that they want. But we've seen the adjustment from the refs so far in the play-in games. A lot more physicality has been allowed. A lot of slower paced overall games based on the half court necessity for both teams to execute, and based on the lack of fast break opportunities for these teams. I'm going to lean under. Spoiler, I'm going to lean under in basically every game one based on what I've seen so far in the postseason with the play-ins. But I see a physical game. Uh-huh. I'll lean under.
I will take Philly team total over 103.5.
Okay.
They've been over this line, I can't even tell you, for the entire month of April. And they have not covered this line since March 25th against the Kings, 108-96. But after that, they've covered it every single time since March 25th. And I think it's more of they are going to attack the Knicks where they're weakest defensively. And they're just going to be very, very efficient. Very, very efficient, slow-paced game, very efficient game. I'm not saying that this is going to be out here 120-plus points, but 103.5 is really, really low number, and I think this Philly team is going to be able to do enough. So, and they'll have a better offensive output than they did in playing game. So, yeah, 103.5 versus the Knicks. I do think I'm kind of nervous about this total, because I think this is just relatively too low, and it could finish at 211. 210, I wouldn't be surprised. So not too much on the full total, but I do like Philly to just go ahead and get over their team total of 103.5. Player props. We got JoJo. We got Jalen Brunson. OG. Kyle Lowry in another series. Jesus Christ. The Batum letdown game. I'm going to tell you right now, Batum under 5.5 points.
He said 5.5 points after hitting 6 threes in a play-in game.
It's minus 145, so which is crazy. It's minus, so it's consensus funny. Minus 145.
Yeah. Is there value on that, though? Like 5.5 minus 145? If it was minus 110, I can find some minus 130s.
I find some minus 130s out there, too. The lowest you can find it is minus 130. Like...
I can't really argue that, but like, damn, that's disrespectful. I know we've had
If I could find a live line, if I could find a live line, whatever the under is in the fourth quarter, give it to me. Pause.
Sure. Okay. I'm trying to think of what I want to go with. Embiid's at 29.5, which you can argue is, you know, low for Embiid, which it is. I don't want the over. Like, I really don't. I think the Knicks can actually defend Embiid relatively well compared to other teams around the league. My question for you is, for the actual Embiid matchup, you think Hartenstein starts? Do you think Hartenstein? Do you think end up getting Mitchell Robinson starting? Probably Hartenstein, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then Mitch comes off the bench and helps. It's going to be a combination of both, but they're going to continue with the lineup they had, and it's Mitch coming off the bench.
Do you think Thibodeau sends doubles, or do you think he just lets Embiid do his thing and he tries to stop everybody else?
I think it's a gentle mix of both. What I feel good about saying is whatever ends up not working, he's not going to change after that.
Okay.
Like so if something works, he'll probably go to something that doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, he's probably going to stick with it. And we're all going to be questioning why are they not doing something different? And he's going to be like, oh, because everything else is working for us. So we're just going to continue to let him do his while they're losing games. I actually really don't trust Tibbs in this matchup. I think Tibbs is going to blow this series. I truly believe Tibbs is going to blow this series. I think the Knicks are very talented, but I 100% believe Tibbs is going to blow this series.
It wouldn't be the first time Thibodeau blew a playoff series, and it probably won't be the last. I am going to ask, though, if you had to pick between 29.5 points Embiid or 29.5 points Brunson, who would you prefer? Because I'm leaning Brunson.
Embiid, because Brunson's not going to get a whistle. Embiid will at least get to the foul line. Brunson's not getting a whistle.
Okay, I'm going to disagree because I think that Embiid is once again still compromised physically, and I think that Brunson has a lot of really solid matchups to choose from in the series. Either it's going to be potentially Maxey, who's not a great defender, maybe Buddy Hield, who I don't think is a great defender either. He's okay, not great. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Brunson over 29.5 points. It feels like a spot where he's going to be forced to carry the team, and I do think that he's capable of doing that. Do you think McBride's going to play at all, or do you think that he's a sucker play because Thibodeau never plays the young guys in a playoff series?
Because
McBride's lines are low. It's a sucker play. That's why I'm asking.
I think it's a sucker play. I mean, it's 5.5. I can't just see. I mean, 5.5. 5.5 is low regardless, but like,
it's a sister at 1.5. That's why I'm asking.
Do I feel as good as we felt about Jaime Jaquez over 6.5 points that cashed in like the first quarter of the game?
First half, yeah.
No.
Probably not, yeah.
But I'm not high on McBride. I am trying to sell myself on Buddy Hield, though. That's what I am doing.
Okay.
You know, this is Buddy Hield's first playoff game. In 8 years, this is his first time in the playoffs.
I thought maybe he might have been there on the Pelicans back in the day, but that doesn't totally.
They went as soon as he left. They went as soon as he left. The Kings went as soon as he left, and the Pacers went as soon as he left. This is his first time in the playoffs.
Forgot to mention, by the way, give me Tobias Harris under 13.5 points. It's correlated to Buddy Hield, what you said before, but after watching Harris play in that play-in game, there's no way in hell I'm taking it over. He had 9 points in that play-in game. Against the Knicks, he's been terrible. He's had less than 13 points in 5 straight against the Knicks. His line's at 13.5. I'll dare Tobias Harris, playoff Tobias Harris, to beat me. I'll take Tobias Harris under 13.5 points at -113. Do you co-sign that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm cool. I'm probably not going to play it, but especially because you just gave out an under, so I'm definitely not going to play it. But no offense, but we played this song and dance for him. So if I did have any quarrels, I'm probably not going to do it now. But I do agree with the handicap, and I do think that if there's somebody that's going to be an odd man out, it's going to be Tobias Harris, which is why I'm really, really trying to sell myself on Buddy Hield, and because the lines are low. The lines are low, and I think the bench players, you know, can have something to say on both sides, honestly, truly. So he's going to get the attempts. This is literally what they brought him in for, and I can't imagine you bringing him in for this and not using him to space the floor and shoot a bunch of threes. Like, he's going to get the attempts up, and his 2+ threes are at -110 odds. He's been over this in four of the last five. He's been over this consistently in the last 10 games. Over the season, he's been over this prop. He gets two because he gets the attempts. And so looking at Miami, he was 1 for 5 before that. Brooklyn, 4 for 10, 2 for 4, 5 for 6, 2 for 5. Like, I like my chances. So I think I'm going to roll with Buddy Hield here over 2+3s to be able to get going off of the bench.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, if we think Tobias...
Mm-hmm. And Kelly Oubre, too. Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, if we think that Tobias might get benched in this game, assuming he doesn't figure it out offensively and he's a complete liability in the first half, do I think Nurse moves on from him potentially at various points in this game? I do. Because I think that we'd agree Nurse is very capable of making adjustments on the fly. So I think Harris might be put in the doghouse at some point, maybe healed and... Oubre get promoted in terms of actual role in the series, where they have to play a bunch more minutes than people were anticipating. I think it's correlated, so I agree.
All right. We've got Kelly Oubre over 12.5 points. He's been over this in, what is that, 3 of the last 5, 7 of the last 10, he's been over this. And Grant, some of those Embiid in lineups, some of those Embiid out of lineups got more of a role. I think this is going to be Oubre and Hield. They really need big games from all playoffs. They need really big games from Oubre and Hield for them to just consistently go over their prop and just add to their total. Please answer. I don't even know what is the previous comment.
I think it was about the Ant thing. So I responded to that. But.
Oh, 30 is
real. Question though, if you like Embiid over, does that mean you like Hartenstein under? Because that means you think he's in foul trouble the entire game?
No. I just think Embiid's just going to kill. Yeah, I just think Embiid's going to kill. Like, I mean, granted, I think he's going to get to the foul line. He's going to get calls, and I think that's going to be a big thing for the bigs all series, is because I think of these two stars, Embiid definitely gets more calls than Brunson. But I'm not automatically running into, because Embiid will not do anything on defense sometimes. Like, he'll really chill, especially now in his state. He'll really chill on defense sometimes, let some things slide because he knows he's about to go back and get on the other side of court. So, not playing the under on Hartenstein, but I am definitely on the over for Joel Embiid, 29.5.
Yeah.
All right. Next game up on the slate. We have the Los Angeles Lakers in the nightcap. I'm going to play the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets laying 7.5 here. 224 is the total. That's gone up 3.5 points from 220.5. 224 is total in this one. Any remnants, anything big injury-wise to mention in this one?
Do you think AD and
Michael
LeBron
Porter Jr. is questionable?
I'm assuming he'll play. Do you think LeBron and AD are still going to be listed as questionable throughout the entire playoffs?
Yeah. Why would you change that?
I think so. Fair. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're obviously playing. I'm just asking if you think they're still going to be questionable.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They'll be questionable all playoffs, and they'll still play. Michael Porter Jr. questionable. Gambling is the reason. We'll see if his appeal comes through. Hey, bro, it's so funny because Jonte Porter really looks like he's like 35, 36. Like, you're the younger brother, really? Like, you literally look like you're 35, 36. All right. So, this is the question for game one, because a lot of people think that Denver's going to run away with the series. A lot more of those people think that Denver's just going to straight up win the series. And Denver's a really good home team. And the Lakers haven't beaten them in a long
straight,
time.
I think it's 8 straight.
Yeah, I think it's like 8. Yeah, I think it's like 8 straight or something like that. It's been a really, really long time.
Just to ask, by the way, we both had Nuggets in 6?
Yeah.
That's what we had?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Even though I don't feel good about it. Yeah. Yeah, Nuggets in 6. So, I think this is similar to Minnesota and Phoenix, where I don't think that Denver, I think they understand the urgency because this is a Lakers team that gives them tough games. But I don't think it's a, we're coming out here in game one and we're about to blow them out in the first game and run away with it. I think the Lakers are going to have a little bit more to say. They have a lot of motivation. They want to get the monkey off their back. I think they're going to be ultra competitive in this game. Do they get the win outright? I don't know. I don't know about all that. And this could be the same game script as it was last year, where the Nuggets kind of was flat in the first half, came out in the second half, started getting putting runs together, and then they went and eked out a really close game in the fourth quarter. I think it's something similar to that. So I do think the Lakers, I do think the Nuggets do get the win. But 7.5, I think it's too much here. I think the Lakers are actually really competitive in this game because they realize it's been a while and they have to get something good on this Nuggets team eventually. So, and I kind of like backing the playing teams in the first game. Recent, getting a little bit in game form. It's been like a week off or something like that for the Nuggets. So I think I like the Lakers early and I like the Lakers to cover the spread.
Yeah, 7.5 does feel a bit steep. To be honest, this feels like a live betting series. You could bet the Nuggets when LeBron's going to the bench, and you bet the Lakers when Jokic is going to the bench, and you kind of just probably find good money in between, right? I feel like that's kind of the approach you should be taking, because both these teams, when LeBron and when Jokic are on the bench, are basically useless, so you can just make an argument of getting a better line in play. 7.5 does feel a bit large. My question for you is, if the Lakers go down early, and if they're trailing by double digits, do they roll over and wait for game two? Maybe. But that's a possibility, which is kind of a problem. But I think I ended up leaning Denver on the Mothership podcast last night, minus the 7.5. Maybe I flipped. I think it will be a close game for most of it. The question is, can the Lakers not get totally killed in the final 3 minutes? Because Denver always kills them late in games. That's kind of the question you run into. I think I actually am going to flip. I think I am going to lean to the Lakers the more that I thought about it. I think the Nuggets haven't exactly been great this season at putting teams away. We saw that with the Spurs game, for example. They were up 26 and they blew it. They should be the one seed because of that loss. I think the Lakers hang in there. I'm not picking the Lakers to win the game. I think Denver's going to have enough to actually get the job done. But I do think the Lakers can remain competitive enough to keep this game within two possessions. Three possessions is massive, now that I think about it. I'll lean to the Lakers. I think if you want Denver, find a better line in play. You can probably find a 2.5 or a 3.5 in play if you want it. I'd rather bet the live line. I'll lean to the Lakers.
Hey, why is that not playing? Is that playing? That's not playing. Play.
Yeah,
hey, play.
I got the Yankee Doodle.
Oh, yeah, it is. Playing. There we go.
Yeah. Full Benedict.
Oh, Lord, Benedict there. Scott Studio Rush Show. Full on Benedict.
Well, I did say on the show last night that I did prefer the live line on Denver, so I did remain consistent with that point. But for the actual spread,
I think... Okay, so maybe 50% Benedict. Maybe 50%
that's still fine.
Benedict there. Yeah, I think this is a game. I think this is a game. But I agree with you. I think that your best chance, really, honestly... if you have a profit boost, live bet profit boost or something, this is the game you want to look at. This is probably the game you want to look at. All right. Let's see here. What else do we have? Total is sitting at 224.
I said I'm going to lean under in basically all these game ones. So I don't know if I'm going to switch.
I think I like over.
I don't know if I'm going to change my mind. But... Wait, you're on the over or the under?
This one, actually.
Like the over.
I think I'm on over. Yeah.
I want to see last.
Lakers really good, man. They put up points on the road this year. 26-14 on the road scoring this year. Well, to the over, I mean. 21-15 as a dog. The offense has been crazy, and then because the offense has been so good, the defense has kind of been like, they get up in spots. Like, they have some spots where it's clear unders, but like this Lakers team, they're not foreign to put up 120 points per game. So I think I'm thinking ahead, and I'm ready for the, hey, let's get this game one over between these two teams so that we can hammer game two under while everybody's betting the over, because the first game was so much scoring. Everybody's going to bet over in game two, and we're going to hammer the under. So Yeah. Give me the over. 224 for the Lakers.
For reference, by the way, looking at the conference finals last year, three of the four games did go over this number. Game one landed 258, which was the highest total by a wide, wide margin. If you want to use last year's stats for this.
So I only like it because it helps my play of the over. So thank you.
Yeah. No problem. You're welcome.
Player props. I mean, let's just go ahead and start with the one that a lot of people are going to be curious about. Is Jamal Murray going to do it again?
I mean, it's tough to play better than he did last year. That was probably the best series. You can argue maybe the 7-game war he had against Donovan Mitchell was a better series for him, statistically speaking. But that's one of the best series he's ever going to play. Efficiency-wise, you really can't top that. I think we'd agree. That was otherworldly how good he was. So I guess based on that, I'm leaning under, but who knows? We see players get up for the Laker matchups all the time. Jamal cannot shoot that well again. Like, that's it was insane how efficient he was. Like, I don't know about that. I'm assuming you're on the same page with why you asked.
Yeah, no, I'm not even, I'm not a Jamal Murray guy. I try to get myself there, but I'm not a Jamal Murray guy for real. He's really good, really good. It's just not somebody I prefer. Jokic and LeBron assists feels like the play for me in a game that I think is going over. So, probably going to get down there. Because honestly, truly, I really think you can't go wrong betting all of the starters of Denver pretty much any given night. Because at the end of the day, if those guys aren't scoring, who is? If Aaron Gordon's not getting at least a double figures, if Michael Porter Jr. is not, mid double fingers, like, who else is really scoring on this team? If they're like, I just don't. I think that those guys are going to play 40 minutes a night. Like, I think they're about to get a lot of run these playoffs, this whole starting unit. I think they're going to get a lot of run, and that's open the door opportunity for them to put up, different stats. So I don't know. I think I'm really bought into just the starters on Denver and just playing them where they're best. Rebounds. You got KCP threes, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. help rebound. Also, Aaron Gordon cut into the basket. He racks up some points. Like, they're going to continuously be on the court unless you want to take chance that they decide, hey, let's go play Reggie Jackson or somebody like that. Like, Reggie Jackson has 6.5 points. Does he see the court for more than 10 minutes?
See, that's the problem you run into with Denver, and that might actually be why I am kind of tempted by Lakers +7.5. I think at some point in the series, the Nuggets are going to look at Reggie Jackson and say, why the hell were you ever playing in the series? I feel like I'm kind of going to treat Reggie Jackson like D'Lo last year. I made a ton of money fading D'Lo in the series last year because I thought he couldn't be on the floor. I think Reggie Jackson's going to get benched at some point in the series. The thing is, though, I don't think Denver's going to realize that until he sucks in game one. So I think Reggie Jackson might be a double agent tonight, on Sunday, and then they'll never use him again. So I kind of like Reggie Jackson unders in general in this series. I know he tends to be decent against the Lakers, but I think he's a horrible basketball player, and I've gone on record saying that for most of the year. I would rather see Brown and Watson. I think Watson defensively is the serious X factor in the series. And I think that his steals and blocks are going to be worth a lot later on in the series. I'm not sure if it's going to be worth a lot in game one. So I like Reggie Jackson unders, but I feel like, once again, Denver might stick with Reggie Jackson for now. He's going to suck. Then they'll make the transition. Do you agree with that? I don't see game one them flat out benching their backup point guard that they've used for the entire season.
Yeah. I agree. I don't have anything to say about Reggie Jackson. I think that's right. It's just, Reggie Jackson just never, he's never really been good to me. That's why I had questions about Denver doing this run again without Bruce Brown, because, like, you're going to end up depending on Reggie Jackson more, and he's not that good. And Christian Braun's fun, but like Peyton Watson is fun, but like I don't think they're moving the needle for these guys. I think they would definitely like to see more impact out of this bench. So that the depth is going to be questionable, but that just opens the door for more player props for the starters, and I think that's how I want to play it rather than fate in this bench. But Reggie Jackson under 6.5 and minus 125 is really, 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 really tempting. Really, really, yeah, really tempting.
I think one other prop I got to be really tempted by, which I think I am going to take, it's Peyton Watson over half a block at minus 130. I think that's an absolute bargain. He had one block against the he had 0 blocks against Memphis. He had 1 against San Antonio. Had 6 against Minnesota. 2 against Utah, 5 against Atlanta. The guy's an absolute monster defensively. He's absolutely nuts offensively. I mean, defensively. And he should play about 20 minutes in this game. But I think half a block for a guy that's been that aggressive and that solid defensively when it comes to rim protection, I think it's an absolute bargain. Give me Peyton Watson over half a block at minus 130. That might be the cash cow in the series. I think that's an insanely disrespectful line for a guy that's been that good at blocking shots. I believe Kaysen said that he's top 20 in the league in total blocks, playing under 20 minutes per game. He's insane defensively. Give me Peyton Watson over half a block at minus 130.
All right. Anything else? Anything else you got?
No. Adam's taking enjoyment from my Reggie Jackson agenda. I think he belongs in China. I think that's how bad of a basketball player he is right now in 2024. I'll be on his unders. He might be my D-Lo fade of the series.
If Reggie Jackson does go over in this game and Scott does not call for his unders in game 2, I will be on his unders then.
If Reggie Jackson goes off in game 1, Denver's winning by 15. Just full disclosure. If Reggie Jackson can actually stall for like 5
Actually, I will debate that with now that makes them play him more, and that actually makes them worse because you're taking Jamal Murray off the court.
That makes him worse.
So while he's putting up points for the 15 points that he got, you probably could have got 25 with Jamal Murray. So, well, 25 extra.
I don't know about that. I feel like I'm going to disagree. I don't know. I think it's been decided that Murray and Joker are going to play 40.
Malachi Flynn had 50 off the bench and lost.
He's also on the Pistons.
This was a hilarious NBA season. This season was amazing.
It was
so many moments. Malachi Flynn had 50 off the bench, just so people remember that happened this season. That was this year. That wasn't like last year or anything. That was this year when Malachi Flynn had 50.
And they lost.
All right. We're going to end it here. And we're going to set you up for a show tomorrow. So, everybody, get ready. We're going to set you up with the show tomorrow. Saturday weekend show. First weekend show I think we've done all year this year. Because we still have a couple of series to talk about and a couple of game ones. And so we'll do the Sunday game ones. This was the Saturday game ones. We'll do Sunday game ones tomorrow in addition to breaking down the first round series between the winners of the play-in games tonight. So, Scott, let's go ahead, lock dog, drop an underdog lineup, and let's get out of here. Before my lock for the Saturday slate, let me see.
What's the question? You want to do a lock for Saturday and Sunday? You want to just do one lock for the entire show?
Saturday games.
Okay, fine.
All 4 games are on Saturday. Playoff basketball.
I forgot. We're not doing the Sunday games in the show. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah. Playoff basketball is back. All right.
Yeah, we audibled mid show. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Very tempted. Very tempted to lock up Minnesota. Because Phoenix, no, honestly, this is more about me backing Minnesota, and this is more fading Phoenix. This is 100% a game Phoenix loses. When everybody thinks they're going to win, they dominate this team all year. They go into the first round of playoffs. They go on the road, and they lay an egg, and they suck. And they do that at a lot of good points this year that they've gone in games that we thought they should win, and they just laid an egg. And it's like, why would this be any different? I'm fading Phoenix. Give me a lock. Minnesota minus 1.5. For my dog, do I stay in this game or do I pivot over to another game?
I don't know if I've ever actually seen you double down for a lock and dog unless you had to on the same game. I feel like usually you spread it around.
Yeah. I normally try to spread the wealth, but I'm really, really tempted at taking some type of alt Grayson Allen threes. But I feel like that's a lot of Grayson Allen stock here. So let's go back over to New York and Philly. Where's Max? What's Maxie's line at?
I'll pull it up.
Let me see. We got, there we go. All right. So many channels that you have to go to get to the game. There we go.
See about 22 right. and a half.
Tyrese Maxey's
22 and a half, give or take.
Oh, yeah. I feel good about that. I think Tyrese Maxey is good for 25. Wait, that's probably just... It's plus 135. It's not enough. I need a little bit more. What's his threes? Four is plus 260. Three.
25.5 is plus 172. 26.5 is plus 210.
Okay.
27.5 is plus 270.
I think I want that. Wait, hold on. Let me just check his threes one more time. Threes. Should I go threes or should I go points? He's been taking the attempts. I'm going to take the points. I'm just taking points. It's cool. Because he's going to drive by Brunson multiple times in this game. All right, I'll do the 25.5 at plus one. What'd you say at plus 170? I got to find that.
Yeah, 172.
Plus 170. 172 for 25. Yeah, I see it right here. Okay. So give me Tyrese Maxey over 25.5 points, plus 172. Because I think that Nick Nurse knows that Jalen Brunson is a star. They know they're not going to stop him on offense. They're going to take advantage of him on defense. They're going to switch him on to Maxey. Maxey's going to get some plays. Maxey's already going to have a good game. Like, I already think Maxey is going to be really solid, but it's just going to elevate here in the playoffs. And this Philly team is just going to look a lot better than they did in the playing game. So Tyrese Maxey over 26.5. Well, I'm sorry, 25.5 points at plus 172. That's my dog. Scott, over to you.
All right. So for my lock on the show, I think I am going to go to the early game on NBA TV that nobody's going to watch. Give me the under 207.5 in that Magic and Cavs game. It just screams rock fight to me. Both teams offensively really have not been good recently. Orlando especially has been brutal in the half court. So I think you're going to see a very ugly game, a very physical game. And I do think that you're going to end up seeing both teams really never, I don't think they're ever going to generate fast break points. Both teams are towards the bottom 10, if not in the bottom 10, in pace. I see a very ugly, maybe not as ugly as the Cleveland Knicks series last year, which was a mess. Even as a Knicks fan, I think you'd agree those games were disgusting. But the point is, I see a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a rock fight. I'm not sure either team reaches 100 in this game. Give me the under, 207.5. I see a low-scoring game as my lock. For my dog, I might actually go to an alt line on a player prop that I kind of mentioned in passing, but I want to see if I could find an alt line on it. Sorry, let me just see if I could find it for a second. I really want Peyton Watson, but I want to see if I could find an alt line on his blocks because I really want it. I don't see a line on it, which really annoys me, but I might give it out anyway because it's going to be a massive price. It's minus 130 for one block. Two is probably going to be somewhere in the plus 200s, give or take. I really like it. I think Watson is a really, really good defensive player, and I think he's being disrespected here. He had 3 blocks in 15 minutes against the Lakers last meeting. 3 blocks in 15 minutes? The guy's an absolute monster. Give me Peyton Watson over 1.5 blocks at what's probably going to be an insane plus money price.
Yeah. Probably is. Probably going to be like plus at plus 250. Definitely in the twos somewhere. I don't have any lines for it anywhere either. And because he's a bench player, so we're probably not going to get that closer. But we'll
I'm so
tweet
annoyed,
it out.
By the way.
We'll post this clip.
I pulled it up on FanDuel. FanDuel has 2 plus blocks for LeBron, AD, Joker, Porter, KCP, and Gordon, but no Peyton Watson. That annoys me.
For the
because
starters.
He's not starting. But give me Watson over 1.5 blocks. It's going to be a massive plus money price.
All right. Anything else for people before we get up out of here?
No. Should be a fun set of game ones. Let's make some money. Oh, wait. You want to do underdog?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we do have to do an underdog. Let's go. Let's lock in. What do we have going for underdog tonight? Oh, well, why does underdog logs me out sometimes? I guess I should be happy. Make sure nobody's in here trying to use my account. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I just got it. Ooh, they just gave me a deposit match. Shout out to underdog. Hey, if you already got an underdog account, you might have a deposit match. Just to let you know. Let's see here. All right. Let's see what they have available. We can do it for tonight. We can do it for tomorrow. We can do whatever. It's just not as many options for tomorrow.
It still works. Is there anything you like for tonight?
I'm waiting to
see. I know when...
Nope, they don't have your Watson blocks. They only have his points.
Doesn't surprise me there. His points are like 4.5. I know that for the game tonight, I did like hero assists. That line's kind of ballooned upwards ever since Rozier got ruled out again. So I don't know if there's any value on that anymore. But I did like hero assists at the time.
They learned their lesson. Hawkins is at 13.5 tonight.
Yeah, I think when Munaf and I did an underdog lineup for that matchup, I think we did end up going with Hawkins higher as well. I'm not going to go against it. I mean, we're rolling over money from the last game. I had 9+, and I had 9.5+ at +280. So Hawkins is on my good graces. I don't mind taking Hawkins points again. You want to take his points again?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
You know, that's my guy. I'm not worried. I think he finished with 13 in that game, too.
Hawkins
is higher, 13.5.
If we're focusing on tonight's games... I know that you always like fading guys off of big games. You mentioned it before with Batum. Are you tempted by a contrarian lower on Coby White, or you just don't want to get in his way at this point?
No, I'm not getting in front of Coby White.
I'm just asking.
Absolutely
not. I'm just throwing out an idea.
Yeah, it's a good question. I respect the question. I'm not getting in front of Coby White. Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'm tempted by Caruso.
Is he going to play?
Thought it would be spicy. Thought it would be a spicy on his.
Is he even playing in the game tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Because he got injured and he didn't come back in that second half of the last game. So I'm not sure if he plays. So.
I don't see anything about him being out. He's just questionable.
Okay.
Just sitting there questionable. So we'll see. Yeah, he's questionable. DeSantis questionable and Truman's questionable.
Do you want to fade Vucevic?
No Rozier.
I feel like Vucevic is going to suck tonight. Isn't that like a safe assumption based on his...
I think both of these two teams are going to suck tonight.
I mean, I like the under in the game. I think it turns into a rock fight. So, do you... I mean, I'm looking at Vucevic.
Oh, Trey Murphy. Miami. Let's go with Trey Murphy.
Okay.
Trey Murphy has a game. Everybody out. Trey Murphy steps up. He's going to get like 10 plus.
I think he's worth 3.5.
Yeah, he's going to get like 10 plus 3-point attempts now. Zion out, and with CJ playing ass and BI playing ass, he's going to get like 10 3-point attempts. Yeah. Trey Murphy, higher, 3.5 threes. I'm going to have to play that individually.
I think I do want to fade Vucevic. He's been terrible against Miami. He's been really bad against Miami. Do they have points and assists, or do they only have points?
Hold on, let me find the right Nikola. That was the wrong Nikola. 19.5 points and assists.
Okay. Just looking at the head to head here. I mean, he's been terrible against Miami. For his points and assists, he's gone.
They priced it.
He's gone lower than this number, though, in four of the last six meetings. He had 15 in the last meeting. Historically, we just think Vucevic is going to suck in this game because I don't know if he's ever actually had a great playoff game. He was good against the Hawks, but the Hawks don't guard anybody, so I don't even know if that counts. Everybody's numbers were inflated in that game. You want to go Vucevic lower? I know you're also not the biggest Vucevic fan.
I'm cool with him. I normally just back him in easy matchups. Okay. I normally take him where it's like, bro, you can't go wrong. So yeah, why not? I'm with it. Under,
okay, fine.
Not under. Whoa, lower. Lower 19.5 for Vucevic for our last play. So that puts us at Vucevic points and assists 19.5 lower. Amy Akes points 13.5 higher, and Trey Murphy three pointers made 3.5 higher. That's going to pay 6-1 Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you use that promo code NBASGPN for 100% deposit match on your first deposit. Anything else, Scott, before we get out of here?
No. Once again, looking forward to the games tonight and tomorrow. We'll be back once again tomorrow to get into the other game ones for Sunday. And yeah, let's make some money.
All right, let's do it. Other than that, I have nothing else to say, nothing else to do, no other way of ending podcast. Just going to end it like this. It's playoff time. We are out of here. Basketball, get it, get it, get it.